Uteshatmanu avastita Yatendu udapatreshu Utani ekatmakani cha Ekaeva parohi atma Uteshatmanya vastitu Yatendu udapatreshu Utani ekatmakani cha Eka eva parahi atma Uteshu atmanya vastitha Yatendu udapatreshu Utani ekatmakani cha Eka, one, Eva, indeed, Para, supreme, He, certainly, Atma, the personality of Godhead, Bhuteshu, within all bodies, Atmani, within the living entity, Avastita, situated. Yata, just as. Indu, the moon. Uda, of water. Patreshu, in different reservoirs. Utani, all material bodies. Eka, of the one supreme lord. Atmakani, composed of the energy. Cha, also. Translation. The one supreme lord is situated within all material bodies and within everyone's soul. Just as the moon is reflected in innumerable reservoirs of water, the supreme lord, although one, is present within everyone. Thus every material body is ultimately composed of the energy of the one supreme lord. Translation responsibly. The one supreme lord is situated within all material bodies and within everyone's soul. Just as the moon is reflected in innumerable reservoirs of water, the supreme lord, although one, is present within everyone. Thus, every material body is ultimately composed of the energy of the one supreme lord. Prabhupada by the servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All material bodies are composed of the same material nature, which is ultimately the potency of the one supreme lord. Therefore, one cannot justify feelings of hostility toward any living entity. In carrying out the Lord's mission on earth, the bona fide representatives of God never become envious or hostile toward anyone, even when chastised by those who flagrantly violate the laws of God. Every living being is ultimately the Son of God, and God is present within everyone's body. Therefore, saintly persons should be very careful even when dealing with the most insignificant person or creature. Oma kyala simradasya jananjana shalakaya chakshu unmitanyena tasmai shri guru deyamaha shri chaitanya minogusam sabitamyena bhutale swaranu pagadamayam tarati swakarantikama Vanisha Kalpa, Thuruva Sakripa, Sundubya Eva Shankati, Tanam Pavanibu, Vaishnavibu, Namu Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're discussing the Vanashram Dharma. So this is a continuation in the previous text. It was just another section discussing the Vanashram system, but now we're dealing more with the different ashrams. So in the past few verses we're speaking about the Vanaprastha and the Sannyas, and later on there'll be more detail about the duties and roles of the other ashrams, the Brahmacharya ashram, the Grihastha ashram, the Vanaprastha and the Sannyasis, what their roles in the Vanashram system are. So if we analyze all the information that is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the Srimad Bhagavatam has been received by Narada Muni from his father and carried out and spoken to Srila Sukadeva Goswami, and how he spoke it to Maharaj Parikshit. And in that we're explaining how the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the essence of all Vedic knowledge. It is likened to the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge. And because it is coming from the lips of Sukadeva Goswami, it is even sweeter. So all the histories and all the pastimes that have been given in the Srimad Bhagavatam have been selected purely to give us the ultimate goal of life, which is pure bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada himself would state in a lecture I was listening to yesterday how every single verse text in Srimad Bhagavatam can give one pure love of God. So Srimad Bhagavatam has nothing to do with it has nothing to do with karma, it has nothing to do with liberation, it has nothing to do with economic development. Srimad Bhagavatam is dealing with pure bhakti. So each and every text in the Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with Krishna. So it has that potency to actually give us ultimate understanding of who we are and who Krishna is and our relationship. And of course, in order to understand Srimad Bhagavatam better, we see how there's always this Shravanam and Kirtanam happening, whether it's Narada Muni relating a story or if it's Krishna giving examples from previous pastimes to Uddhava or different personalities. So there's always this recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam showing how it's coming from a chain of teachers who have received it from their teachers as well. So in the first canto there's this verse that says Shushushur Shadaya Nasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi Sian Mahatsevya Vipra Punya Chetan Nisha Vante. That this is a verse that explaining how the twice born sages, by serving those who are free from all vice, great service is done. And by such service one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. So we may have Srimad Bhagavatam and we may randomly read it by ourselves, but actually in order to understand Srimad Bhagavatam and the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to get the blessings and mercy of the person Bhagavatam. That is why we are guided and we're instructed to always hear Bhagavatam in the association of devotees so that we get a much clearer understanding. So in text 32, we're at a point where there's different lessons that are being given here. There's been examples of how those that are in the renounced order of life should accept food, how they should live out their lives in terms of maintaining themselves. And now we're speaking here mainly about general etiquette, how the saintly person should be treating others. And this is just general Vaishnava qualities, general Vaishnava etiquette. And remember in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated in his conversations with his very intimate disciples that the ornament of a Vaishnava is that he follows etiquette, that we have good manners, not only with each other, but with all living entities. So there's a nice, in the translation, this analogy about how the moon is reflected in innumerable reservoirs of water. the Supreme Lord as well. He's present within every living entity, and He's present within within the hearts of the living entity. But this doesn't mean to say that the Lord is spread everywhere and His potencies are minimized. That doesn't mean that. So for us, this is very important, especially when we're dealing with other people, when we're trying to preach, that we don't just see everyone as a demon or a rascal or a fool or whatever we can call people. We might fall into the trap of seeing everyone as demon who does not chant Hare Krishna. But we have to have this understanding that there is Krishna within each and every single person's body. And that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ishvara Sarvabhutamanam, here it is Arjuna Tishtati, Ramayan Sarvabhakti, Yantra Rujwani Maya, that the Lord is accompanying the living entity in His body, and He's directing all His wanderings. So He's directing what the living entity is doing. He's, as the super soul, He's overseeing, He's permitting, and He's sitting there waiting for the living entity to take guidance of Him. It's not that we're always by ourselves, struggling hard in this world, but the Lord is always with us, even in the most degraded position, even in the most forgetful state of Krishna consciousness, that the Lord is there. So even if we forget in our everyday life that, you know, everyone around us is ultimately part and parcel of Krishna, if we just think at least that Krishna as the super soul, He's seated in everyone's heart, then we can maintain some level of respect towards other living entities and not be violent or hostile or maintain any levels of enviousness or malice or hostility towards them. So this is a very, sometimes you see that in the purpose might be small, but the points that are being made, they're very big, and great lessons are learned from it. And the next point in this purport specifies specifically that we cannot actually justify feelings of hostility towards another living entity. So for a Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada would explain, he would give different definitions of a Vaishnava. Sometimes they would ask Srila Prabhupada, if we look at the conversations he has with Harisori Prabhu or Hansa Dutta, in the Veda Vedas we can find them, they ask Srila Prabhupada, what is a Vaishnava? And Srila Prabhupada, certain times and places, he'll explain how a Vaishnava is one who chants Hare Krishna just once, or a Vaishnava is one who is, you know, performing devotional service or surrendering to Krishna. But there's one specific answer that Srila Prabhupada gave, in which really sums up our whole mood as practitioners, and he said a Vaishnava is one who is non-envious. So we're not envious of any position that any person is in. And envy, of course, comes from the want to engage in sense gratification. So if we want to enjoy, whether it's on the subtle platform or on the material platform, envy does creep in. So we don't only see the envy manifesting externally or by violent words, but we can harbor all these feelings of envy towards other living entities. Or why do they have a better position in society, or we should have this land, or this, or that, or whatever. So we can't really justify these feelings that we have towards other living entities, because we're not the supreme controllers, and this world is not meant for our enjoyment. So we're not supposed to be pursuing sense gratification at all, even on the subtle level. So this is a very obvious point, and there are a lot of repercussions that might occur if we maintain feelings of enviousness towards other living entities. And this is, we have so many great lessons from the Srimad Bhagavatam where we see how certain misconduct can land us in the greatest danger. And we see this especially with the different pastimes between the demons and the demigods. How there's this continual enviousness that happens amongst them, and it's because of that there's a spiral of events that leads to, you know, so much destruction. And it's all based on envy. We want to enjoy in this way, you also want to enjoy, but there's no room for you. So with sense gratification, with this envious mentality, we want to enjoy for ourselves, so anyone else who comes within that jurisdiction, you know, becomes our enemy. And these are not the qualities that that saintly people should be cultivating. These are not qualities that Krishna is looking for. Krishna is not attracted by envy or pride or being steeped in illusion. Krishna is not attracted by these qualities. Now, if we look at this purport, it's very interesting because this is so much based on our preaching efforts. Because it says here, even we shouldn't even be hostile or have feelings of or negative feelings towards those who are even violating the laws of God. So even in our preaching endeavors, we meet so many people who will, you know, blatantly say that they're a god, or they minimize the position of Krishna. And of course, in that situation, we're always advised that we shouldn't remain in a place in which the Lord and His devotees are being criticized or are being offended. So normally we just walk away. We don't fight fire with fire. So when we are dealing with such people, we have to be very cautious. And as the last line of the purport says, we have to be very careful when dealing with such people. And I'll just give an example here. These are the people we're actually dealing with in society. This is the mantra that most people live by in this world. Those who are not practicing any Sanatan Dharma, those who are not practicing any religion. And I'll just read the Sanskrit and the translation. You can get to understand the type of mentalities that we face and how we have to be careful even when dealing with them in order for us to cultivate these saintly qualities that attract Krishna. So idam ajya mayam labdham imam praspe manoratham idam asthidam api me bhavishyati punardhanam aso mayahato shatru hanasir chaparam api ishvaraham maham bhogi siroham bhalavan sukhi ajyo pichana vanasmi konyosti sadrosh maya yakshe dasyami modisya etya jnana vimohita. So the demonic person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future, more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect. I am powerful, and I am happy. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is no one so powerful and so happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity. And thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. So if you just analyze people living in this material world, this is their mantra. This is the everyday mantra that they live by. They have so much wealth, they have so much aristocracy, they have killed so many enemies, they're maintaining themselves at the expense of others suffering, and they still go on thinking, yes, I will enjoy, I'm powerful, I have all the beauty, I have all the fame, I have all the opulence. So how do you deal with such people who can be hostile to those who are trying to spread the message of Krishna, the message of love of God? So sometimes in our ecstatic state to want to preach, we can reveal, you know, we can reveal Krishna to such people, but we're always advised that we should avoid the envious. And to show mercy, of course, to show compassion, which is a quality that is wanted in a saintly person, we can expose them to the process of Krishna consciousness. So activities that we're performing, like Harinam, book distribution, prasadam distribution, These are all ways that we can expose the general masses, you know, people with demonic tendencies, we can expose them to this process without having to, you know, intensely preach to them. And in that way, gradually they become qualified to hear about Krishna. But sometimes we get in situations where there's a lot of hostility that is created because they're so envious of Krishna, they don't want to hear about Krishna. But if we just expose, if we just expose the process to them, we do Harinam in the street, no one can argue with that. Everyone can chant, everyone can sing and dance, and they get exposed to that aspect. Or with prasadam distribution, everyone has to eat. They can't argue with that one. You know, so all these different programs that we do, these are different ways that we can actually, as preachers, as representatives of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and of Srila Prabhupada and of our spiritual master, when dealing with such people, we have to be very careful because we don't really want to push them further and further away of having a chance to come in contact with the message of Lord Chaitanya. So we have to be careful in our deliverance of the message of Krishna and find the means and ways by which we can attract everyone to Krishna consciousness, not just certain classes. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam we have wonderful pastimes of how, you know, by cultivating the right consciousness, by cultivating the right qualities, we can attract Krishna by showing this jiva doya, this compassion to all living entities. Krishna becomes pleased, and Krishna magnifies these qualities of his devotees. He makes it known to the entire universe that his devotees are so great because they're more merciful than him. So instead of being envious, instead of maintaining these feelings within the heart, which are not good for our bhakti-lata, which are not good for our pre-birth devotion, we have to at least show some compassion to the living entities. So there's one pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the eighth canto, the pastime of the churning of the milk ocean, when Lord Shiva is saving the universe. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining over and over again that actually what pleases the Lord is not that we become such a great, is not that we focus on becoming such a great, you know, the most perfect cook in the Krishna consciousness movement, or the most ecstatic Harinam leader, or the most amazing lecturer or sloka reciter. You know, that does not come as a prerequisite for attaining Krishna Bhakti. What pleases Krishna the most and what captivates Krishna the most is that we have is this this quality of showing compassion to others. So Lord Shiva, during the churning of this milk ocean, so basically the demons and the demigods always want to enjoy, and because they have different systems of trying to enjoy, they always clash. So it's for that reason that the demigods, they want to enjoy in the mode of goodness. They want longevity, they want the nectar of immortality, they want the long life. And the demons, of course, they want to enjoy in the mode of passion and ignorance, but mainly in the mode of passion. So there's this different enjoying spirits that are coming out. And it's because of this that they wanted to churn the ocean of milk and to produce the nectar. And each of them wanted a share of that nectar. So what happened when, and we can see even in materialistic activities, when you want to enjoy something, there's a lot of work that is involved. Just to enjoy a holiday or to enjoy your car, to enjoy the opposite sex, to enjoy nature, there's so much austerity that's involved, there's so much pain that comes with it. So similarly, even when the demons and the devatas were churning this great ocean of milk, you know, they were churning using Vasuki as ropes, and it was explained how they were getting so fatigued you know, the thighs, some of them the thighs, the legs started weakening, they started breaking, and the Lord started showering some rains just to alleviate that distress. But we see, even for the Devatas, even at this stage in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there was a lot of suffering involved. And it's all because of these feelings of enmity that were between the two parties. So that couldn't be resolved, so they're trying to churn this ocean of milk to please each other. So eventually, how the demigods landed themselves in this situation, they got cursed by Duvasa Muni, of course, when Duvasa Muni gave Lord Indra a garland, and Lord Indra garlanded his elephant, but his elephant could not recognize, you know, the importance of wearing a garland from the great Duvasa Muni, so he just stumbled on it. And Duvasa Muni, of course, he does not waste time with cursing living entities, so he got angry and he cursed Indra and the Devatas, and they lost all their opulence, and they got defeated by the demons. So when this great task, when nothing was happening from the churning of the ocean, they approached Lord Brahma. And along with Lord Brahma, they told him to, they went to the Drikshodakshaya Vishnu, to the milk ocean. Now what happens along the story, you can read it for yourself as well. When they were churning this ocean of milk, the first thing that came out was poison. Now in the purport was explaining how this was the most, you know, terrible poison that has ever been produced. It was so powerful that it would annihilate everything in the universe. Anything in existence would be diminished because of this poison. So the Devatas, they didn't know what to do. So they were advised to go to Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu advised them to go to Lord Shiva. Well, as you know, that Lord Shiva is explained as the greatest Vaishnava. Vaishnava nam yata shambhu. He has these great compassion that he's always showing towards the living entities. You know, he's in charge of all these lowly creatures, the Bhutas, you know, the Rakshasas, you know, the subtle body, everything. All the weird looking creatures in creation, these are Lord Shiva's people. And gradually he shows compassion and he wants to elevate them to the point of coming towards Krishna. So Lord Shiva is sitting on Mount Kailash with his wife Bhavani, and he understands that they're coming to him to ask for help, how to deal with this poison, because it was going to destroy everything. And Bhavani, knowing the position of her husband, she understood this is a simple task for Lord Shiva, because he's very compassionate. So he obviously, automatically, eventually he just went down and he condensed all the poison and he drank it from his palm. And he drank it, and this is how he saved the universe. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purport of this pastime in the 8th canto, he's explaining how this is a quality that really attracts Krishna. This quality of showing compassion towards others, of not having any kind of enmity, although the demons are perpetually trying to ruin the Devatas or those who are worshipping Lord Vishnu, there's no feelings that are maintained of hostility. The minute we start harboring all these feelings, then our devotion and our want to perform service for the Lord is just diminished. So this is just the one pastime that I wanted to share, showing how, you know, this quality of compassion towards living entities, especially for our preaching purposes, is very important, that we learn to cultivate this compassion by seeing everyone as connected to Krishna, by understanding that Krishna is in the bodies of each and every living entity, and in that way we try and give them Krishna, we try and expose them to Krishna through different means and different ways. So the Lord becomes automatically pleased by ones who is showing compassion. And another important point for this preaching purpose as well, the only thing that we're trying to do, actually, we're trying to declare that only Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else. So in our preaching purposes, we're establishing Krishna as the one Supreme Lord. And this purport is very nicely put. And in the translation as well, the one Supreme Lord. So there cannot be anyone else. It's just Krishna. So we see in the pastime, another pastime of Maharaj Yudhisthira performing the Rajasuya Yagya. Now Maharaj Yudhisthira and all the Pandavas, they knew Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without a doubt. That for them, that was they had realized that. But Maharaj Yudhisthira, it's not that he desperately wanted to perform this Rajasuya Yagya. He wanted to perform this Rajasuya Yagya to establish to the entire world that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore he should be offered all respect and he should be worshipped first. And that is what the whole point of the Yagya was about, establishing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even amongst some personalities like Duryodhan and Shishupal, who were against Krishna. Personalities who had feelings of hostility and envy towards Krishna. So the whole point is to just put across Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is to be worshipped first. And this event, of course, it wasn't only for the great sages or for the Pandava family. Everyone from different universes was invited to this Rajasuya Yagya. So it was an interplanetary affair. So they were boldly declaring to the entire creation that Krishna is the Supreme Person. And for that reason, he is going to be offered the Agra Puja, the first puja. And in that way, all the different arguments came after how Krishna does not belong to any caste, how no one knows Krishna's lineage, all these different factors. And within that assembly, some would block their ears because they didn't want to hear the blasphemy against the Lord. Some would walk away. And eventually Krishna is the one who deals with all these miscreants. So sometimes in a preaching we might think we have so many oppositions. Krishna, you know, how are you going to help us? But Krishna, even himself, has to tolerate the lost conditioned souls who blaspheme against him and his devotees. So eventually Krishna, he annihilates this demonic mentality, as we see with this pastime of Shishupal, how he just annihilated Shishupal. And that was very easy for Krishna. So we should always have this firm conviction, which is a part of surrender, one of the limbs of surrender. We're convinced that Krishna is going to give us protection. We're convinced that Krishna is the one who will actually provide for us. We have faith in Krishna. So Krishna always takes care of his devotees. Krishna gives his word. He protects us all the time. So we shouldn't feel we have to endeavor separately to perform all these feats of protection. Krishna is always protecting the devotee. So this is a wonderful pastime that we can see that we maintain our the right etiquette. We do not fight fire with fire. We don't use harsh words when dealing with other living entities, not to speak of devotees. You know, we maintain the right etiquette, because that is the proper way for a civilized person. In the Vanashram system, you have certain qualities like honesty. These were discussed in the earlier chapters. Different qualities like honesty and tolerance are the qualities that one should have when they're approaching the Vanashram system. So before you even accept yourself as a member of the Vanashram system, if you do not have these qualities of compassion, honesty, tolerance, forgiveness, then we cannot really say we're following Vanashram. But here, of course, specifically we're dealing with the different ashrams. And the last point, that in Srimad Bhagavatam we'll find that there's so many pastimes, there's chapters and chapters of consequences that we might land ourselves in because of being neglectful to follow these different points that I've been given, being neglectful to actually understand the purpose of scripture. So for us, we might think, you know, I forgot to clean the prasadam hall upstairs, or I forgot my spiritual master's Vyasa Puja, or, you know, things that we can see all the time, but there's this one specific pastime that's actually showing us how bad it is, how we suffer greatly over periods of time if we are neglectful of the process of Krishna consciousness. And this neglect may come in the form of neglecting to worship the deity, our neglect to perform our sadhana, our neglect of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, our neglect of the nine angas of bhakti. So there's a pastime in the sixth canto of Lord Indra offending his spiritual master. And there, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that for a few minutes, because Lord Indra had so much, he was neglectful of his spiritual master who walked into the assembly. So he didn't do anything big like step on his toe or smack him on the head or hurt him physically or anything like that. He was just neglectful of the presence of his spiritual master. And it is because of that that Lord Indra ended up in a big mess. All the opulence, all the strength that the demigods have, it all disappeared because he had offended his spiritual master. So if we also become neglectful to follow just proper Vaishnav etiquette that's been given to us through the acharyas in the form of the different books or in the instructions within the books, then we might cause a whole string of events that might lead to us neglecting to perform devotional service in the proper mood and in the proper way. So this neglect is something that we have to be aware of, we have to be wary of. So it's not that we have all these nice pastimes and it's really amazing, or Indra did this, Indra did that. But we should understand, like I mentioned in the beginning, that great devotees in the Bhagavatam, all these great pastimes were selected for specific reasons to highlight the importance of actually how to behave, how to properly behave. So you have all these different cantos with all these different pastimes showing how we should actually behave and the repercussions as well that follow if we do not act in the proper way. But rather we should be seeking out how to actually attract the mercy of the Lord. And by following these general guidelines, these general principles, Krishna himself says he's pleased by this quality of showing compassion towards living entities. Because that's the whole point of Srila Prabhupada setting up this institution, that we may give others an opportunity to come and hear about Krishna consciousness. So even if we see, you know, something very close to us, the pastimes of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is basically our activities we're performing now, hearing and chanting, feasting, preaching, same thing was happening then. And it's to our great fortune that we had the Panchatattva, Lord Advaita Acharya, who is Mahavishnu and Sadashiva together, who called the Lords, who, you know, cried, it's explained in the Adi Leela, in the chapter, the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how because we had these materialistic people already, we had these demonic mentalities who weren't accepting any Vaishnav philosophy, although the followers of Lord Chaitanya had descended, although all these great personalities were there, but they were taking no notice. And therefore, Lord Advaita Acharya, out of his compassion, he called the Lord time and time again to descend into this age to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. So it was, he didn't go the other route and say, you know, they're going to suffer, forget them, they've lost out. He actually saw these are lost parts and parcels of Krishna, we have to connect them to Krishna. And therefore he invited the Lord to appear. So he says, Krishna arvana kare sangana hankara hunkareya krishta haila rajan rajendra kumara. So Hunkara, he was loudly crying by the banks of the Ganges, worshipping Tulsi with Ganges water and Nishingadev Shalagram, asking the Lord Rajendra Kumara to appear inviting him to appear into this age of Kali. And this is because he was thinking, Lokare nistara hechu karane antara kemate shava lokara haibe tarana. He was seeing the contaminated state of the world and he was thinking seriously, how are they going to get saved? How are they going to get delivered? So he was thinking about the means and ways to actually deliver people out of their miserable condition. And therefore he prayed, he went by the Ganges River and he asked the Lord to descend. And sure enough, the Lord did descend. And the Lord would continuously praise his devotees for their magnanimous qualities. The Lord would give all credit to his devotees, like Prahlad Maharaj. He'd give all credit to Prahlad, he'd give all credit to Dhruva Maharaj, he'd give all credit to his devotees because of the magnitude of Vaishnava, of the qualities, saintly qualities that they were showing. And that attracted the Lord. It captured the Lord's heart. So this is the mood that we should also try to portray in our preaching efforts. We should always try and show compassion, understanding that Krishna is seated in everyone's heart, and that our duty as those who have received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is to help them to come connect, to go back to their connection with Krishna. And that is the purpose, that should be the purpose of our lives, to help others come to Krishna gradually and gradually. So I'll finish there, Hare Krishna, and I'll ask if anyone has any comments or questions. And I'm not going to be proud. So all these qualities, you know, developing greed to hear topics about Krishna or developing our tolerance, all these activities, explained in the Bhagavatam that actually we develop all these qualities by sincerely serving the spiritual master. That these qualities are already there in the heart. And when the spiritual master sees that when we're pleasing the spiritual master, which means we're pleasing Krishna, Krishna gives us those attributes to be able to be compassionate, to be tolerant, to be forgiving towards others. So a very nice way, you know, we can try and practice this to bring about these saintly qualities is if we serve the devotees. So by serving the devotees and by preaching, we actually get purified. And through preaching, through studying the Shastra, we get to understand, you know, each and every single person who comes into contact with the mission of Srila Prabhupada, or those devotees who are dedicating their lives to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, they're very special. You know, in each and every different vision of angle you try and look at it, anyone in this room right now, everyone is trying to sincerely serve Srila Prabhupada in some way. So this is what we should just at least focus on. There can be so many negative things about qualities of a person because, you know, previously we're decorated with Kali Yuga tendencies. So these things they might be still there, and there might be unbalanced relationships that might bring about confrontation, misunderstanding. But we should understand that in our impure state, we still will not fully recognize the purity of others. So by trying to serve the devotees, understanding that everyone is sincerely dedicating their life to Srila Prabhupada, that we should see their good qualities and try to serve them. So when you try and serve other devotees gradually, this mentality of hostility or harboring emotions will gradually go. And by serving the orders of the spiritual master, we get the strength to tolerate. By standing shastra, we get to see we should really teach others about Krishna to end their suffering. So by constant, you know, practice of devotional service and taking shelter of the orders of the Guru, we get to understand all the inputs of the Vedas are revealed from the heart. So that comes through the agency of the spiritual master and Krishna together. So they start showing us, yes, this compassion will start developing from the heart because we're sincerely endeavoring for it. We're showing Krishna, okay, Krishna, I'm trying, I'm serving devotees, I'm preaching, but I still don't feel like I'm being compassionate. It's still mechanical, but I'm still trying. So over a lengthy period of time, these qualities will come naturally. This is one question I asked Devamrita Swami and Devi Shakti Maharaji. And they said, you don't worry, you just serve the order of your spiritual master, you be happy in Krishna consciousness, these qualities will come. So an important quality in devotional service is to be tolerant as well. So we know at what level we should be at or what qualities we have, but we still don't have it now, so we should just continue with the process. And without a doubt, Krishna says, you know, these qualities will manifest if we're sincere. Okay, thank you very much. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sai Prabhupada ki.